The Thessalonian letters are among the earliest of Paul's writings. They were probably written within weeks of Paul's first visit to Thessalonica, and they include clarifications and exhortations about Jesus' return. That is because the church in Thessalonica was deliberately imbibed by Paul with a heavy dose of apocalyptic hope for the Lord Jesus' second coming. Paul urged them to orientate their lives towards the coming kingdom that could break upon them at almost any moment. However, after Paul left Thessalonica, there soon arose a mixture of confusion and worry about Jesus' return, as well as some unwholesome behavior that required attention. The first problem was anxiety, since some were afraid that experiencing the benefits of Jesus' return were only for those who were living at the time, or else that his return had already happened. So there was the risk of missing out. Second, another problem, there was an intense belief in Jesus' impending return led to a heightened sense of anticipation that caused some of the Thessalonians to abandon everyday life and to rely on the generosity of others as they waited, leading to some idleness. So Paul has to assure the Thessalonians of their future destiny with Christ, rebuke them from their idleness, and dispel their ignorance about what it means to wait patiently for Jesus' return. That said, it's worth remembering that 1 and 2 Thessalonians are not a manual on the end times. Paul dealt with additional issues like his travel plans, the difficulties of persecution, plus exhortations about the importance of imitating other churches and avoiding sexual immorality. What Paul does in these two letters is missional theology and pastoral practice in light of a certain eschatology that centers on Jesus' return. Paul urges them to keep hold of this apocalyptic hope, but he wants them also to have a very this-worldly holiness, and he wants to cultivate a definite eagerness and sense of anticipation for Christ's return. But he marries to that a call for love and faithfulness at the same time. Now, we of course have to look at some important critical issues about the Thessalonian letters. The city of Thessalonica, you know, modern Thessaloniki, is located on the northeastern coast of Greece. The Romans annexed Macedonia in 168 BC, and Thessalonica became the capital of the region in 146 BC. In Paul's day, Thessalonica was a free city with tax exemptions. It was predominantly Greek, but with large numbers of Italians, Thracians, and Jews as well. The city was on an important location, located along the Via Egnatia, which connected the Balkans to Asia Minor, and which Paul traveled along during his Macedonian ministry. In regards to religion, Thessalonica had the usual assortments of cults and temples. Traditional Greek gods like Zeus, Heracles, Apollos, Asclepius, Aphrodite, and Athene represented besides some Egyptian gods like Serapis and Isis and others as well. Given that Thessalonica's fortunes became bound up with Rome, it is no surprise that the Roman goddess Roma was worshipped there too, and there was a temple and priesthood to the emperor established during the time of Augustus, and coins were minted as early as 27 BC depicting Julius Caesar as a god. So Thessalonica was culturally Greek, but politically and religiously it was enmeshed in the Roman Imperium. Finally, we also know about a synagogue in Thessalonica as well, and it's evident that a number of Jews were residing in the city in the middle of the first century. Paul and his co-workers left Troas, that's in Asia Minor, for Macedonia, probably around...